As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
Here's a lead pass. In on goal. McDavid scores! 3-1 Canada!
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it! Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score!
The 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ballgame in the bottom of the ninth inning. The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions. It's Elliott. Elliott for the touchdown.
And now here's your host, Elliott Price.
Okay, first let me say, this isn't sour grapes complaint, per se. Okay, sure, I'm sour. Canada lost. But it's the manner in which it happened. Obviously, I'm not the only one to say that a championship should not be decided in a shootout. Not in soccer, not in hockey. And yes, I certainly would have whooped it up if Canada had won said shootout. But my complaint came pre-U.S. victory. Although there's no documentation of this current objection, it is, however, something I have complained about previously, so I'm on the record as being very much against stupidity in handing out gold. We were watching what our good friend Eric Engels correctly labeled the best game ever played at the Bell Center, and it was ruined by having an anticlimactic finish. The last time Canada lost the junior gold to the U.S., it was in overtime, a 4-on-4 overtime. They changed it because they didn't like it and went 5-on-5 this time for a full 20 minutes. I asked to please change again, if only for the championship game, and not simply because I don't like it, because it's not right.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome to the show. I'm Elliott Price. That's Grant Robinson. Have you recovered?
I'm a little bit... It hurts.
It's a Canadian song. It's a Canadian band. It's called All Tore Up, so I thought it kind of...
I've said this to you before, though. I would rather a game against the U.S. or a rival, right? Like, even Leafs-Habs, I've said it with this. Even if the Leafs have a chance to lose and you told me they could win the other game, I want to see the rivalries. It's what makes them great. I'll remember that game, but I was thinking in the overtime. Because I had a chance. I was thinking in the afternoon, one of my friends asked me to buy tickets. I said, I can't. I have the show. I can't not go. And Freddie wasn't in. No. But I'm saying during it, I'm like, Grant, you didn't come to this game. Canada's going to score the winner in overtime. You could have been at the Everly game in this. And then they lost. And I'm thinking, oh, my God.
I got to tell you.
I would not have made it home.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. The game was a lot better than our show.
Well, the game, let's be honest, I think we've never done the show well.
Hey! way.
That game was,
I disagree.
Said the best game at the Bell Center ever.
We've had better outcomes.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Well, okay, Bell Center, not Montreal.
There are no facts, it's opinion.
No, but I was just thinking, I was going to say, Montreal's got 24 Stanley Cups. It's true,
none,
not at the Bell Center.
None.
So the Bell Center's history,
right,
that was kind of the first chance, I guess, to win something here meaningful.
Right.
Right out the window.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll hear Eric's comments when we do voices a little bit later. But, I don't know, man. Look, I felt bad for the Wah kid. I talked about it on my lead-in last night about their kids. They make mistakes. It happens. I'm sure the ice had something to do with him losing the puck on the way to the net. But you know what? Five guys missed, and Dubois missed when he had an open net to deliver gold in the last few minutes with Canada on the power play. And that's not fair, because there are all kinds of opportunities through 80 minutes. You know, it's easy to pick out this, that, and that, and there's a lot. Everybody can go home. Everybody can go home and say to themselves, I had an opportunity to make a difference, and I didn't. And that's what they need to do. It's a team thing, and they lost, and they didn't really lose. You lose in a shootout, it's heartbreaking, but it's not really a loss. You battle for 80 minutes, toe-to-toe, 4-4.
It's still a loss, though, because if you win, it's still a win. You forget how. But it doesn't mean that's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
I will say this. I watched that play in Nicolas Roy where he loses it.
Yep.
I watched that. I was watching it with Dana and my mom last night. No, but in slow, because they all go, what a bum, he lost. And I said, but you got to watch it. I put it in like slow motion.
Yeah.
He goes to put it back to his forehand, and he misses it. The puck,
does it stick?
Maximum a millimeter.
Yeah.
He touches just the top edge, and because of it, loses it. And by the time you do that, it's too late, right? And he's probably done that move 100 times in practice. He has the goalie. In the end, it didn't work. And it's tough.
Yeah, because if he gets there, he probably backhands it over his pad. Because all he needed was to get it
once
up.
He did the fake shot,
he needs about 18 inches
the
to get it up
out
over
six
the goalie's
feet,
pad. Yeah,
right, almost. So, I mean, you have it, but you don't have it if you don't put it on net, right? So,
all right. We got a good show for you tonight. We'll talk hockey, of course. Andrew Berkshire will be here. We'll talk about what the Canadians have left, right? It's 8 weeks. It's a broken hand. It's not just a broken hand. It's the same broken hand. And you wonder, you know, normally 8 weeks, okay, guy comes back. Is the hand mangled? I mean, is it going to work?
Like, I'm picturing him like the guy in Scary Movie 2. Take my strong hand. That's what I think of.
I got Edward Scissorhands, okay? I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
All right. The director of player personnel for the Minnesota Wild and the man that was there when I got my first hole in one. In fact, he picked the ball out of the hole. Blair McAsee will join us. Also coming up, football. And we could talk to DK about the hockey game because he was there last night. That's why he wasn't here.
He went to both, eh? Semis and...
No, he didn't go to the semis.
I was about to give him a big compliment.
He called and made himself available at the last minute, but we had already booked Sports Rage, so you got bumped, buddy.
Well, when Sports Rage is on, most guests you could say, well, maybe it'll be a short segment.
No.
We might be able to squeeze in.
I don't want it to be a short segment.
No, but with Gabe, there's two questions. Could
Gabe's
be a
in town tonight,
question.
By the way.
This is his event night?
It's tonight. He's at Trophies, right? If you want to see Sports Rage, you want to see Gabe, I believe he's at Trophies tonight. Call Trophies, right?
I don't have the number offhand, but...
So it's like, where is it? It's on just off the 40 near Krebs.
Right, like you see
where,
it. If you're on the 40,
where the Cinema
right
Gusso is, right across from
right
there.
Right by it, yeah.
All right. What else do we have tonight? Sam Cosentino. He is the Mr. Junior Hockey from Sportsnet. And we'll hear from all eight quarter... I was worried as I was moving along that one of the websites would not have... But you can't. You can't go to a playoff game and have all kinds of video on your website and not have the quarterback. That wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, that's weird.
So we'll hear from all eight quarterbacks that are participating, or all eight quarterbacks that are starting this weekend's National Football League.
By the way, you got Sam's name right. First try, his first time on the show.
Yeah.
Kyle, you had a little run.
Again?
No. Today you got it. I can tell you're never going to mess it up again.
No, I will mess it up again, but you know what? Here's something I did yesterday. When I tweeted out the names for the guests yesterday, the first time I sent it out was with Andrew's name and not Kyle's. Andrew, the best part of it is Andrew retweets it, and I look at it and go, you're not on the show. And had to tweet out that it was my something like my 11,365th broadcasting mistake. But it's been a long career.
Well, yeah. Just a very successful one as well, by the way. Right. See a little.
This show is already better than yesterday's show. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I don't know. I don't know what you have up your sleeve. We'll find out next. The opening face-off is next.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Grant Robinson. That would have been the 60s. We should get you like your own...
That Christmas song, still, I don't know why you said it was great.
Oh, yeah?
I'm mad I didn't have it during the holidays. I should have asked you for a copy.
That's true.
And just played it everywhere I went, blasted it out of the windows, and spread cheer
Daniel Yorio as John Lennon.
Yeah.
Singing about Grant and Elliot.
It was
crazy,
great.
Crazy,
I'm still
crazy
waiting
stuff.
For the best of. But last night, look, best of, you talked about it. Eric Engel said, probably the best game ever played at the Bell Center.
Do you want to hear Eric now?
We can.
You want to hear Eric now? Okay, I was going to run it during voices. Can you turn the computer up? Eric talking about the atmosphere at the Bell Center last night.
I spoke to Michel Lacroix, who's the Bell Center announcer, and for me, he's the best in the business of what he does. And then he's just got this rich, booming voice that when you hear him announce a goal, it raises the hairs on your skin. It gives you goosebumps. And, you know, when he announced Thomas Chabot's goal, last night, a minute 42 into the game, the Bell Center was just raw. It created the atmosphere that we've all been waiting for. I wrote about this last night, you know, in my column for sportsnet.ca. Like, it just created the atmosphere that finally gave these kids what they deserve and gave the home side that feeling that, you know, the entire nation actually was, in fact, watching. And I think, you know, for my money, that goes down as the best game that has been played at the Bell Center since the doors opened in 1996, just because of everything that was at stake. And, you know, I guess, you know, the Canadians will have to hope that they can top it and maybe even in 2017 with the team they've got right now.
Eric Engel showing why he's a triple threat today on Sportsnet 590 in Toronto.
Well, that look, and the game was great. There's no question. Now, just as a hockey fan watching, it was incredible. As a Canadian fan, look, Team Canada, absolute heartbreaker to lose that way, especially losing to the U.S. when you were that close, right? And you see them have to get the gold medals. What did you make of the game in itself? Not how much does it hurt, but the game itself, you know, what went wrong? Did they play well? What did you like about it? What didn't you?
You know what? It was very similar to me to Game 7 of the World Series. Right? It was imperfect. There were a lot of mistakes, but that created the excitement of a game that went back and forth. Actually, it didn't go back and forth. It went fourth and even.
It was.
Hey, you had leads of 2-0 and 4-2. The lead evaporated so fast that it was amazing that that Canada at that point was able to go, whoa, hold on, let's take a breath here at 4-4 before it's 6-4 that away. And look, there were so many chances both ways. Hey, look, with less than 10 seconds, what was it? Who was standing?
7 seconds left.
I mean, he slid it just past the crease.
There's a few others in the overtime.
But I'm just saying, that would have been a wild way to end it. But that's, you know, it could go either way. And that's the kind of excitement that you hope to see when you watch a championship game. Can't be better than that. It could only be as good.
I thought, look, like you said, it was amazing. Canada played incredible in the overtime. I thought that they definitely had... Now, it only takes one
shots
chance.
Were like, what, 17-5 or something
stupid? It only takes one chance, right? Like, the U.S. could have came back at any point
and
won it.
They owned the overtime. They didn't score.
But exactly. So, look, the game was great. But again, you're up 2-0. Perfect start. You blow that. You get a 4-2 lead with two more quick goals, and you blew that again. I'm not saying there's no credit to go to the U.S. They are a great team. They've done it all tournament. But you look at it, one more goal, one more save, you're gold medal champions, and it wasn't. So it's tough. You played
Stop
a good
it.
Game, yeah. not good enough. Power play 1-for-7, I believe. And as for the complaints about the shootout, I agree with you. I don't think anything should be decided that way. Having said that, and hear me out here, I kind of like that this tournament has that because it's the only time you will ever see something meaningful in hockey come down to this. Now, I agree the gold medal game maybe shouldn't have it,
right.
But the U.S.-Russia, I enjoyed that shoot. I think maybe up until the gold medal game, keep the shootout because it's in the world junior history, right?
Okay. I hate to say this, okay, but you can't keep your stick 5-hole. You saw the guy go three
times.
I agree.
I said to Dana, he's not, there's no way.
Did you read what he said about what he was going to do?
No, I didn't read.
He said, I'm standing there, right, getting ready, and he told himself all day, I'm not going five hole.
So then he said the goalie's got to be saying the same thing.
It took over. He didn't.
He's got a magnet.
Five hole took over in his DNA.
You know what else is impressive? Four five hole goals.
Yep.
Four different goals.
Yep.
They're all different.
Yeah.
He went with the backhand. He went on one with a deke, one with none. Look, the guy is there, and that's the other reason why I don't mind that this is there. Because if there's no shootout, who's Troy Terry? Would you have noticed him really during the game?
Maybe.
Not
he
really.
He would be a silver medalist.
Oh, okay, and that's fair. Maybe he's not even, because maybe they don't even make it
there.
That's
right. Maybe Russia wins the gold.
And I'll say this, look, why I will say the shootout, I don't mind it that much, because when Jonathan Toews and Carey Price did this exact same thing to the U.S., did we complain?
Did you see?
Or do we still play the highlights now?
Did you see Wyshynski's tweet?
No, I didn't see it.
Said, Canada likes it when it puts Jonathan Toews in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, it's true,
and
though.
He said, and so he got ripped. He's going, does anybody know that I'm kidding here? Jeez. But anyway.
And at the same time, look, if you didn't want a shootout, you had 20 minutes to score. It's not five.
Oh, stop
no,
that.
But I'm just saying, it's not the same thing as 5 minutes in the NHL. 5 minutes is nothing. 20 minutes, there could have been 20 goals in
playing.
That period.
All right,
I agree it should be, but the other part of last night's game that really stuck with me, just the faces of the Canadian players after the loss.
Yeah.
You know, you see it. Carter Hart sitting motionless in the crease was pretty emotional.
Well, you also played 80 minutes of hockey.
Well, yeah, and you can see at the end how dead they were, everybody. But
Shabbat played 43 minutes.
That's impressive.
That's ridiculous.
That's Nicolas Roy in tears before. You know when he goes to the boards, you could already see it starting. This is he's a tough guy. He's a hockey. They don't usually. And it overcomes you when you saw this. This is kind of a 2-part one. First off, how much blame should go to him? You know, he's losing the
for
puck.
What?
You know, people were all over him.
He was one of five guys that didn't score.
So you agree that just because you're the image. That's there.
Oh,
it doesn't mean anything.
Why they had to leave him to be the last guy? Somebody could have scored.
It's the other four guys didn't even.
Heck, the goaltender stopped four of five. It's certainly not on him.
No, okay? Carter Hart did his job.
You had an opportunity to score. Four guys didn't score. You know, you hit a crossbar.
Another missed the net. Hey, I mean, come on.
By this.
And he was the hero. Remember when we were watching in studio when he scored that goal to make it 3-2? You know, he's not the one who allowed a goal to get it to overtime. It sucks because he'll be the one played there. But when you're him, and this is what I'm saying, you know, when he's skating away, he's not thinking, oh, we lost. In his head, he's thinking, I just lost this game. Mm-hmm. And we've all been there. You've played sports. I've played sports. Not at this level. But how. What does something like that do to a player, and does that ever go away, you think?
Well, you would hope if you're going to be a professional, it's not going to be the last time you're going to suffer disappointment. So, you know, suck it up. And it's probably not the first time. Man, you play so much hockey in your life, there has to be somewhere where you lost a championship, where you were even younger than 18, 19 years old. You lost a championship somewhere in Pee Wee or Mosquito, and someone broke your heart somewhere.
But this is your first time on the Nat. You know, like the whole country watches you, kind of, and you feel like you let them down. I hope he doesn't feel that way, because anybody who understands sports, I'm sure isn't looking at it like
sports.
That. No, I agree, but when you're in it, like I had midget football, this happened to me, and we lost a game 3-0. Defense allowed minus 30 yards and we lost.
You went to Loyola, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so my buddy went to Loyola.
Okay.
Okay, and they lost the Bantam Basketball Championship by a point.
All right?
So they lose the basketball championship by a point. They come back as seniors. So we're talking 3 years later. They come back, senior championship. They're up by a point as the buzzer goes. And some guy that had some problem with some other guy gives him a shove. And they give the other team two.
I'm not even involved, Elliot, and I feel it. That's
tough.
Two
free throws.
That is tough.
Kid made them both, and they lost the championship again 3 years later.
And that's not, you know, this isn't a national thing, and it sticks with you. It's hard.
This would be 1974. So if you're out there and you went to Loyola, I don't even know who beat them. I know that they lost twice.
Well, this is the only case where somebody remembers the loser, not the winner. So I'll give you that. Usually, you only remember it if you win, right? Team Canada, hey, let's agree with this before we move on.
Yes.
Better than last year.
All right, we've got to move on.
Player in this tournament whose stock went up or down?
player in this tournament.
Obviously, Thomas Chabot. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
You know what's funny? I wish Freddie was here. I'm kind of mad he's not, because we watched preseason Leafs Ottawa, and he goes, Grant, what are you watching this game for? There's nobody good playing in this. I said, I want to see how Thomas Chabot plays. He's a new prospect for Ottawa, yeah. And he made fun of me. I wish he was here, but he's not. He played great.
Who was the goaltender for Canada to start the game?
Carter Hart. Oh, the other game? Connor Ingram. His stock is down. I'll say this too. Dubois.
Yeah.
I know he didn't score a single damn goal. Look at the other guys in the draft class this year. Right? The other guys in the draft class aren't scoring goals at the World Juniors. They're scoring goals in the NHL. They're up near the top scorers. Yeah. Matthew Tkachuk, even. You look at Austin Matthews. Jesse Pajarvi's playing Edmonton. Dubois was the only one down. It was supposed to be his showcase, and he didn't really show up.
Pujarvi's not doing anything.
No, but he's still there.
Okay.
He was still there, right? So he had a chance. But Tkachuk and Matthews and Laine, I mean, Dubois, he's definitely looking like the runt of
could've
the litter.
Could have won the gold medal. Was on his stick.
Last one.
Yep.
NFL games this week.
Yes.
It's the wild card weekend. Quickly, we'll go predictions every game. Raiders, Texans.
Well, now I read that the Raiders have lost their left tackle. I told you I was worried about it because he went down the end of last week. He came back, and that's not a good thing. I thought it interesting that they asked David Carr how Connor Cook would do, and now it's a perfect scenario.
No O-line.
No O-line. Connor Cook should get the crap beat out of him. I don't even see the Raiders beating Houston now. So,
well,
I'll cheer for them, but
the 3.5-point underdogs, I like the Raiders to cover this week because I don't think there's going to be a lot of points.
You know, Raider fans are very interested in the cover.
Well, I don't think anybody should be curious, either fan, because the Patriots are winning next week.
Right.
That's there. Steelers, big favorites against the Dolphins.
Yes.
Do you think that'll happen? You think they're going to kind of steamroll them?
Yes.
I'll say this. Dolphins did beat them regular season.
No.
Nobody cares. It's playoffs now. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell. I'm with you there. Seahawks, Lions.
God,
you
I
see
hate
an
the
upset
Seahawks.
There?
Are you going to go into Seattle and beat the Seahawks? Not happening.
Their defense hasn't been the same.
I'll cheer for them. I'll cheer for the Lions, but I don't see it happening.
I'll cheer for the Lions, too, because that would mean the Cowboys play them.
You know, if that Seahawk ever gets near the ground, that Lion's going to chew it up. That's why I know that.
I like the Seahawks there, too. And I think this is the game of the week for sure.
I don't,
Packers,
you know,
Giants.
Man, Packers are so hot, but I just you know what? I see the Giants in the Super Bowl.
I like the Packers, but I agree with you. These are the two best. Well, I like Pittsburgh a lot, but the two best, if you look at them, I think whoever wins this is a tough matchup for the Cowboys next week.
It's going to not be easy. Very difficult if you can't run the football, and the Giants have not been able to run the football for much of this season. That will hurt them.
Super Bowl, who you got? I'm saying Cowboys. I said Steelers, Packers at the beginning of the year.
I don't know. Patriots
winning. I'm going
Cowboys.
I have to.
You know what? Packers could be there. Giants could be there. Seahawks could be there. Cowboys could be there. I have no idea. It's a toss-up in the NFC. It really is. All four of those teams, good for me.
You
I don't see anyone touching the Patriots.
What you just said with all those teams being there, I mean, it's going to be an entertaining playoffs.
Well, better. Or else, you know what's not entertaining tomorrow? I'm not watching any more games.
You're a liar.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
All right, so welcome back, and time for our voices portion of the program. You know already, I'm sure, if you're a Habs fan, you know that Brendan Gallagher has a broken hand, and he's gone for 8 weeks. Okay, that's the bad news. It's always nice to temper it with a bit of good news. Alex Galchenyuk was on the ice today.
I spoke to Michel Lacroix, who's the Bell Center announcer, and for me, he's the best in the business.
Okay, the buttons you press are not always the ones that come out. Here is Alex Galchenyuk.
Pretty good. You know, it was nice to be back. Nice to be back with the guys, going there and skating, and you know, not skating by yourself. It was a fun time.
Any ideas to when you might be back, Alex?
When I'm around, I feel like I'm ready to go out there and play my game. You know, still feeling out some things, and now it's just working on the things I've done before when I was playing. You know, cutting across, doing the stuff with the puck and stuff like that. But the knee feels great so far, and it's one day at a time, but it's definitely getting closer.
All right, you need to come back and start cutting up other teams' defenses. That's what you need to do. Alex Galchenyuk, maybe by next week it'll be interesting to see the team the Canadians ice tomorrow night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. As has been said somewhere on Twitter, the Leafs will be the more experienced team. Tomorrow.
Are we sure?
No, we're not sure.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but their seven rookies have played 30-something games.
Yeah, that's right.
Like that. All right. You know what they say? At the end of the season, there are no rookies.
Shea Weber.
So they're not there yet. Yes.
I think.
We've had more games than the entire. Probably. Yeah, maybe. All right. As predicted last night by Grant Robinson, the Columbus Blue Jackets streak came to an end. John Tortorella on the long, long winning streak.
Yeah. I just address the team. I usually don't go in the room, win or lose. All year long, I haven't been in there. But I'd be remiss, like I told them, if I didn't. That is one hell of a run by a hockey team. And they should feel really good about it. Quite honestly, I thought the first 30 minutes, we were a good hockey club. We played well. We couldn't find a way on Holpe. Made some great saves at key times, and then we kind of lost ourselves. But I'm proud of the team. Well, we're a good hockey team. They'll get a day off tomorrow. We'll get whacking at it against New York the next day.
John, you've spoken so much about Bobrovsky during this whole season. When you brought him out of the game, you went right down to the end of the bench to greet him. Did you tell him, hey,
none of your business what I said to him. Obviously, you know the demeanor of it. And we have climbed on his back from day one. He has started his play from the World Cup. You could see where he was mentally after an off year last year. And he's a big reason why we go on this run. So I was contemplating taking out after the second period. I wanted to see if we had any juice, because you never know in this league right now. Things could change quickly. But that's a hell of a run by Bob. He leads the way there.
With a strong start, I saw you kind of going over guys, keep your spirits up, and you guys fell behind by two goals. What was the point in the game where you thought maybe it was slipping away?
Well, at a point in the game, the shots were 17-8, and I think in the middle of the second period. And there's no certain point. I don't think our power play, I think it deflated us a little bit tonight, where usually that's where we get our juices off our power play. Give credit to Washington. They killed very well. I don't think we were sharp on it. They end up getting a couple of scoring chances on that power play. Bob makes a couple of great saves, and I think it went downhill from there. But I tell you, the first 30 minutes or so, I was not unhappy with the club. We had some good zone pressure. Unlucky goal on Carlson's skate there. But that's the way it works. And we've been on the other side of it quite a bit here the past month as far as good things happening to us. So you eat it and you get ready for your next game.
There you go. John Tortorella. Unbelievable. The run, it's over. What happens now? Who is Columbus? We're going to find out, right?
I think they're pretty good, though. I mean, it's not just the 16 wins, right? Look at they had, what, 5 regulation losses before last night? That's insane.
And our last voice, you're going to like this, Grant. This is a beauty. Did you happen to see the fight last night between Pat Maroon and Zdeno Chara?
I did not see it. I saw his goals.
So Chara challenges Maroon, right?
Okay.
And Chara needs at that point for something to happen for the Boston Bruins, okay? And here's Maroon after the game, asked, what's it like to fight Chara?
It wasn't fun, Gene, I'll tell you that. He's got a big reach. He throws punches hard. You know, I might have a headache here soon, but it was, you know, he asked me to fight, and it's out of respect, and I know he would give me one if I needed it. So it's one of those things where I don't want to do it, but you got to just show up.
So mama, I'm sure all the hand and I just around. Action speaks louder than words, and I'm a man, a great experience. I know you got another man, but I can love you better than him. Take my hand, don't be afraid.
There you go. You like that? You like that?
I'm advertising.
Kirk Cousins, eh? No. I thought we were done with Kirk Cousins' references. Playoffs started, no?
Well, the playoffs are done with Kirk Cousins, but you like Pat Maroon?
He's a decent player. What, 13
so Chara,
goals?
So Chara needed a fight, right? So, you know, I'm just saying.
What? That's the last guy I'm saying. Oh, you need a fight? No problem. Yeah. Let me help you out. No, I'll pass. I'll go try and find somebody that doesn't try to punch through my head every time. That's what makes Chara dangerous.
But if a guy is accommodating you, right, because you know he knows what the deal is there, mm-hmm. right, then Chara can't really hurt you badly. Right?
He I don't think Chara plays you, right? by those rules. And having said that, you know what I would have liked to see to have seen? Lucic yeah. and Chara.
Well, now you give me Lucic. Remember that Lucic didn't fight
when that.
George went to knock on his door. Remember? This went on forever here in Montreal.
I get it, but Lucic fights when he's angry. Lucic doesn't fight.
Nah.
Same with Chara.
Lucic takes a stick and tickles your nether regions.
Well, that's another story. That's another story.
All right. Grant has an update. That's up next. Then Andrew Berkshire, one of our top Habs insiders, coming up as we continue with Sportsnet tonight. I'm Elliot Price.
The final buzzer. Two glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Old Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
Andrew Berkshire, time to talk some hockey. Always, you know, Thursday, Friday, somewhere around there. Usually it's on a game night, but Canadians with a weird schedule this week. They play two. They're not playing. They play tomorrow, whatever's left of them. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm very good. You're looking snazzy on the tube, I must say, and you're on again tonight at 11 o'clock and again tomorrow. You like that? Is that fun?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's always good when you're there as well, Elliot.
Oh,
and happy early birthday.
Well, thank you very much. Wow. Why are you looking at me like that, Grant? Stop it.
I don't know when your birthday is. I feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
I feel bad now.
All right. It's not a big deal. Let's see. Yeah, we were talking about the talent as far as the juniors are concerned, and the Canadians had two players. The Flyers had nine players. We're talking to Blair McAsee right after you, and the Minnesota Wild, they had really, really good players.
Yeah, the Minnesota Wild's prospects seemed like every single player who was absolutely killing it in that tournament belonged to them, which, you know, lucky for them. You know, those short tournaments don't mean everything, but that's a pretty good indicator of who's got the game-breaking talent.
As Grant was wondering, you know, so you have the guys that actually did well. The Americans won. They're going to carry that with them forever. And the Canadians, you know, there's Wad, slipped off his stick. You can't carry this, right? I mean, I don't know. Has anybody ever been affected by it for long periods of time? Like the negative thing that happens in one of these junior tournaments?
I would say that Marc-Andre Fleury carried his for a pretty long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember much about his early NHL career, but he really, really struggled. And granted, the Penguins were also very terrible back then, but his early career was a bit of a mess. And I think a lot of that came from, I believe it was back-to-back years where Canada blew it with Fleury in goal. And the worst one was his attempted clearing pass that went off an American player right back into his own net.
Yeah, and that was it. Yeah, I know. My buddy was at that game. Hey, look, you know what they say happens, and that's, you know, and so we're watching last night, and it ends in a shootout, a five, you know, shooter shootout, and I don't know. I don't like it in regular season National Hockey League games, and I sure as hell don't like it to decide a championship, and not because Canada wasn't the winner last night.
Yeah, it's not the best. You know, there's been some great shootout memories in the World Juniors. Everyone brings up the Price-Taves one. There was one against Russia after the Eberle tying goal. But, you know, they're never as great as, like, a great overtime goal or something like that. What I'd like to see is, instead of a 20-minute 5-on-5, do three different periods, 10 minutes 5-on-5, 10 minutes 4-on-4, 10 minutes 3-on-3.
Yeah.
And then, if you still can't figure it out,
go home.
I would find, yeah, exactly. Like, I'd find it extremely hard to believe that 10 minutes of 5-on-3, there's no goal, or 3-on-3, there's no goals. But even if then you can't figure it out, maybe a shootout.
Well, look, sticking with this tournament before we go Habs, watching it, I'm sure you watched a lot of games. Was there any player, it doesn't even have to be a Canadian player, just somebody in the tournament that really stood out to you and you're kind of looking forward to see at the next level?
I really like Jordan Greenway on Team USA. He looked like he's got that rare combination of size and speed and strength. The way that he would protect the puck in and around the offensive zone, and he pulled one specific move continually last night. I was lucky enough to be at the game where Canada was shooting the first and third period, and he would go behind Team Canada's net, win a puck battle, and then kind of muscle his way to the front of the net to either send a pass right into the top of the slot, like at the top of the crease, or get a scoring chance himself. And he did it continually all night. He's just a specimen in that way. And the other one was Thomas Chabot. That's a prospect that I never thought a whole lot of when Ottawa drafted him, but he was an absolute general for Team Canada. I don't know what his final ice time was in a game, but
43 and change.
What was that?
43 minutes and change.
In, like, absolutely incredible. And, you know, I don't think he made very many mistakes the entire game. And I thought that even more impressive for him was I thought his defense partner was terrible. I thought Cale Clegg was incredibly soft, very mistake-prone, and he wasn't accomplishing anything. But Chabot was carrying him like crazy. And, you know, I was trying to think of another defenseman that I'd been that impressed with in, like, a single game in the World Juniors. And I'm coming up empty.
All right. Because I'm looking at the Florida Panthers, Bukestad's injury. This is not good. Okay, I'm just saying. Kind of leg got folded under him on a face-off. He skated up ice and then he went to the bench. And the Canadians are going through one of these like every night now. This can't be good for Brendan Gallagher. You know, 8 weeks, okay, broken hand, but it's the same broken hand. He already said that, and not necessarily hockey-wise, but just like life-wise, that hand will never function like it did before. And you got to wonder how this is going to affect him, the damage done, and then maybe a different area, and will he be able to be the player that he was, having had that hand broken twice?
Yeah, it's a tough question. Luckily for Brendan Gallagher, it is his left hand, and yep, he's a right-handed shot, so it shouldn't affect things like shot power and shot accuracy as much as you'd worry about. It would maybe hurt him in things like, you know, poke checking on the defensive side. Maybe because of that hand injury, he never has the grip strength in his left hand to be an effective defensive player in terms of, like, on the penalty kill, that kind of stuff. It could limit him that way. But because it's his left hand, I'm not too worried about his long-term career prospects. I think we're going to see Gallagher compensate and be fine. What worries me is that the Canadiens said minimum 8 weeks, which sounds like, I believe he's going under the knife for the broken hand. So that sounds like it might be a complicated surgery with a whole mess of broken bones.
I know it's a little early to start talking playoffs, but look, the way Montreal's playing, they've thrown as many injuries as they can at them outside of Carey Price and Shea Weber, pretty much, and they seem to keep finding ways to win. They're still first in the Atlantic by at least 10 points right now. So it looks like if they continue this and don't lose 10 points, they will play not a team from the Atlantic, but one of the wild card teams, which means you're probably going to face one of Pittsburgh, the Rangers, Washington. Do you think that the Canadiens match up well with that? Are they good enough now to, it doesn't matter who they play, or is that kind of a scary first round matchup?
Well, I don't think that no matter what happens, unless Mark Bergevin lands some crazy group of players the trade deadline, I don't think the Canadiens can beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. So if that's who they draw in the first round, that's extremely unfortunate. But I think as long as they're healthy or even moderately healthy, they should be able to beat the Rangers. I'm not very high on the New York Rangers. I don't think they're very good. And I think that Henrik Lundqvist getting, you know, being a little bit older helps as well. You know, I don't think Alain Vigneault has done a masterful job the last few years. And their defense is just very weak. You know, it's not deep at all. They don't even have great top end guys. McDonough is the only guy that, you know, is legitimately good. So them, they'd be fine. Washington, I'd be worried about because they've kind of stumbled out of the gate this year. But I think in terms of talent, that's an incredible team.
with Andrew Berkshire, who joins us every week to talk hockey and Montreal Canadiens. You can subscribe to his podcast. Find him on Twitter, Andrew Berkshire on Twitter. And, of course, everything else that he does, sometimes on Vice, sometimes on RDS. And always here, Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night and what's left of them. I mean, it's almost like they're living off fumes. And they're going up against a pretty high-octane young team tomorrow night.
Yeah, and the nice thing for them is that while Toronto is a very high-octane team, they're good with trading chances. So, you know, Carey Price can be the great equalizer while they're suffering all these injuries right now. And the way the Canadiens have been playing, even with all these injuries, has been pretty impressive. So they're probably not going to be run out of the arena unless, Brendan Gallagher is an even bigger part of the team than we all think, which could honestly be true based on last year when he went down. But, you know, maybe we'll see a great debut from Nikita Sherbak. That could be pretty exciting.
I didn't like what I heard from the American Hockey League play-by-play guy today. He said Sherbak wasn't ready for the National Hockey League, and yet here he is. He wouldn't be the first guy who someone said wasn't ready for the league and actually played better here than he did there.
Well, that's definitely something to consider, and I think that's been a problem with Sylvain Lefebvre's Hamilton Bulldogs and St. John's IceCaps. Yep. Is that pretty much everyone looks worse down there for some reason. I know that you guys probably remember that Brendan Gallagher put up more points in his rookie year in the NHL than he did in the AHL, which is kind of weird when you think about it. And guys like Nathan Beaulieu, we always heard, wasn't playing very well in the AHL, and then he would get called up and play great and then get sent down, and they'd say, oh, he's playing terrible again in the American Hockey League. And you have to wonder, like, what's going on down there exactly where everybody's not ready, but then they seem pretty decent when you get it called up.
All right. Always great talking to you, Andrew. Our show is on again at 11 o'clock tonight on City. Elias Makos, it was great meeting Angelo Esposito. I did call his games, but I never actually had an opportunity in a kind of social atmosphere. A nice young man, and we wish him the best. He's done now as a professional hockey player. More injuries this year. It was great to meet him.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
All right, Andrew. Great talking with you. Arpan Basu also on the panel. And, of course, Elias Makos as your most gracious host on City tonight at 11. And I believe before the Habs game tomorrow night, you can catch Sportsnet Central, the panel. And every Thursday night, we run a bit of what you could see, what you might have missed, and what is coming up on that show. All right, one of my favorite people, and certainly has to be a broad smile. His National Hockey League team is playing very well, and the kids that the Minnesota Wild put on the ice at the World Juniors, the tops. We'll talk to Blair Mackesy coming up on Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price in a minute or two.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hey, man, got a big box of porn for you.
Yes!
Got to get on that.
You guys are so up your asses. Scumbag, ask yourself!
That's how you talk?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
You freaking idiot!
You do not take a tone with me, because I will give you a rap right on the Jack Johnson.
Let's dance, dickweed.
That's what I'm talking about!
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host, Elliot Price.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
Know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Daniel Iorio outdoing himself one more time with one of our promos. Blair Mackesy's coming up. He is, of course, the director of player personnel for the Minnesota Wild. And they're just having a wonderful old time, aren't they? Big comeback win for them last night. And he watched two of his kids win gold medal for the United States yesterday. Also coming up, we'll talk football with Daniel Kalis. We'll hear from all eight quarterbacks that will start for their teams coming up on weekend one of the National Football League playoffs. And Sam Cosentino. Talked to him earlier today, and he was on his way to Halifax. So he's out there to do some junior hockey, and we'll talk to Sam from Sportsnet coming up just after 9:30. But time now for the aforementioned Blair Mackesy. Blair, how are you? Blair, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey! So nice to hear your voice. You must be...
What's going on?
Not much. Not much. You? Everything okay?
All good, my friend. All good. Night off.
Hey, look, I know that given an opportunity, you would much rather stay home and watch the tournament. So this had to be a good. You didn't have to fly halfway across the earth to scout and to watch. And obviously, the way the Minnesota Wild kids played, this had to be an unbelievably joyous 2 weeks for someone involved with these kids in the Minnesota Wild.
Well, I'll tell you, Elliot, I coached World Junior in 1996 in Boston, and I've been to every one either involved with Hockey Canada or with Minnesota since 2004. I think that game last night was as good as any World Junior game I've seen, certainly in the top three or four. So yeah, it was good. It was good. The building was full. The atmosphere was great. It was a nice way to end it.
Sportsnet's Eric Engel said, and of course Canadians haven't won a Stanley Cup since moving into the Bell Center. They did get to a couple of Final Fours, but he said last night might have been the best game, the most exciting game that has been played at the Bell Center since it opened for hockey.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I certainly, in my case, I mean, I've been to a few games at the Bell Center. I was there the very first game it opened up, and I would say last night was the best game I've seen there, without a doubt. It had everything. It had suspense. Two teams, young kids, great players. The thing I enjoyed most about the game is even when it got into overtime in the third period, both teams were playing to win. They weren't playing not to lose. And you see that so often in the NHL now in overtime and playoff games. Teams, they lock everything down and they just don't want to be on the ice. They don't want to lose. They play not to lose. These two teams played to win. Every shift, there were scoring chances. It was wide open, high risk hockey, and it was fun to watch.
It certainly is going to be fun to watch the Minnesota Wild going forward. There was a day there when the medal round opened up when Kaprizov and Eriksson, Ek and Kunin and Greenway, they scored six times for four Minnesota prospects in one day in big games. People have gotten used to Minnesota being kind of a defensive team over the years. Man, you got some offensive players coming.
Well, we do, and, you know, we've got some pretty good kids in our American League franchise, like Alex Tuck from BC and young Olsson, and so we're happy about where we're going. We're obviously optimistic about the future, and you have to be careful, too. I mean, we had four really good players in the tournament this year, but there's other years where you don't have anybody. It's kind of a cyclical thing. It just so happened this year that... four of our top prospects are still junior age and had the opportunity to play in the tournament. But, we're obviously excited about what they did. They all bring something a little different. Luke Kunin's more of a small buzzsaw, hardworking kid. And then you know, he might be 5'10". And then you get Jordan Greenway at 6'6", 235.
Wow.
Who's just a horse of a kid. And Kaprizov's a great skill player, and Eriksson Ek actually played nine games with us to start the season, and before we moved him back to Sweden, Färjestad in the Elite League, and you know, we like to think he's going to be on our team next year. He's a quality two-way player. He's probably going to be a real strong second-line center for us at some point, so you know, we're happy with the way the four of them played in the tournament, obviously.
Blair, Grant Robinson here. First, I'm going to start off with just continuing on with what you said. It's kind of a compliment here, but we talk about how the new NHL is all about draft picks. The 2015 draft for the Minnesota Wild, you just mentioned them, Greenway, Kaprizov, Eriksson Ek, and the third rounder, the only reason you didn't have it is because you guys traded it for Devan Dubnyk. I mean, that's a pretty good draft in the new NHL. I got to give you credit there. But with this tournament, when it comes to development for these young players, you know, there's always that question, should they be sent, should they not? Obviously, if they have a full-time job in the NHL, they don't go. But when they're not there, how important is this tournament for development of a young player?
Oh, I think it's really important, and I don't understand why teams. And I understand, you know, when you get the McDavids and these type of players, obviously NHL players, Austin Matthews, but they belong, they should be in the NHL, and they should be staying there. But I would say for the vast majority of junior age kids in the NHL, if they get the opportunity to go back and play, I think it's a real step up in terms of development. They you know, this is three, it's 3 hard weeks. They're playing good competition. The pressure's on them every night, and I think anybody that goes through it comes out of it a better player. So I know we look at it as really an opportunity. If we do have the opportunity to send kids to this tournament, we're real positive about it. We think it's an important development step, and we think that kids that do go through this process, that do have the opportunity to play in this tournament, come out of it better players.
Director of Player Personnel with Minnesota Wild, Blair McAsee, your team down last night, comes back. They're having a good year, 24-9-4. Everyone thought they had a good team last year. It didn't happen. And, you know, I mean, I know you. I want Minnesota to do well. And I wonder, after a season like last year, does a person in your position worry in the off season that if this happens again, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, first of all, you lie because you're a Chicago Blackhawks fan.
Yes, I am. Everybody knows that. It's no, there's no secrets here.
Let's put the cards on the table. But yeah, you know, one of the things people don't realize, I don't think people, so especially in this area, know enough about the Minnesota Wild. We're kind of a team or a franchise that kind of flies underneath the radar. But we're only one of seven teams that have made the playoffs every year since the last walkout.
Cool.
That's 4 years in a row. There's only been four other teams that have been able to do that. So we've been a good team. We haven't been dynamic enough. We're not at that level where the Blackhawks have been and some of the other teams where they can win a cup, obviously Pittsburgh. But I think this year we've turned the corner in a lot of ways. I think Bruce Boudreau and Scott Stevens have really helped in terms of the coaching staff. I think they've brought a new approach. And I love Mike Yeo as a coach. I think he's going to do a heck of a job when he takes over in St. Louis next year. But I think sometimes you just need a different outlook on things. Obviously, Eric Staal has helped us. A veteran presence to go along with Nico and Zach Parise and Suter. And you can never have enough veteran presence. And we got him at a time when he really has something to prove. He didn't like the way things ended in Carolina and New York. Felt he really had something to prove, that he still had a lot of good hockey left to play, and he's done that for us. But I think the biggest difference in our team from this year to last year and previous years is that our core group of young players, the Brodeens, the Granlunds, Coyle, Niederreiter, Zucker, Scandella, these kids now are coming into their own. In past year, they really had to survive to stay in the league. Now they're starting to dominate the league. When they go out, these are the kids that are winning games for us. And I think that's what's so positive about our team. It's not Zach Parise and Mikko Koivu and veteran players, but it's the young guys that's really stepped up and started to take their rightful place.
Blair McAsee, always a pleasure. See you on the golf course.
I hope not before July.
All right.
Not that's before a nice July. Comment. I like that.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't take my elbow that long. Oh, I see.
That was,
stop it now.
That was a dig against the Blackhawks.
I know. Thanks, Blair.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Blair McAsee, who, by the way, okay, so I third hole, September, okay, never had a hole in one in my life, and what are we looking at, par 3, 145 yards, and it hit the pin, right? I said, it hit the pin. He said, I'm playing with Blair, okay, and he says, it's in the hole, and I said, no, I see a leaf, like, he says, no, that's... He says it's in the hole. I never had a hole in one.
I'm taking credit for this.
So he's walking up and he says, I'm going to go look. Yes, I can't look. I can't look because it might have hit the pin and it rolled off the green, right? It's not on the green. And he reaches in, right? He could come up with air. But there was my ball. My truck and roll golf ball was in the hole.
It was because of me. You golfed with me. You saw. Right. Whoa! Look how bad this guy is. I got to make a change.
I know.
And the next day.
And 6 weeks later, I made another one.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So next year, you got to get three
with a racked up elbow.
Maybe that's the key. Maybe your elbow needs to be a little bit
to be in pain.
Dinged up. So you're going to have to go and swing early next year.
All right. Daniel Kalis coming up, our National Football League correspondent, and all 8 starting quarterbacks coming up this weekend. You'll hear from each and every one of them. I pound my hand into my fist. Or is it the fist into my hand? I don't know. But there's contact. There's definitely contact going on here. Why are we watching Brooklyn-Cleveland? Is there not a hockey game going on? What's going on with your Leafs? Don't tell me. Grant's got an update coming up in just a moment. Sportsnet tonight. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
And it's time to talk National Football League with our good buddy, Dan Kalis. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys? I'm looking forward to this big weekend.
All right, here we go. I promised all 8 quarterbacks, so let's start off with 2 that are probably the least heralded, Connor Cook and Brock Osweiler.
I felt pretty calm, you know, with the hard circumstances, just going in there and stuff. I felt like I was, confident. I know the offense well. I've been in the system for, almost a year now. We were running stuff that I've been familiar with, so was actually fun to get out there and get some reps.
Yeah, it's a dream come true. These are the things that you dream about and work towards from a very early age. When you're in first, second grade and you're playing football, you dream about playing in the National Football League and you dream about playing in the playoffs and leading your team. So I couldn't be more excited. I can't wait for Saturday to be here. I wish it was here today. But I'll definitely be ready to go, and I'm very excited.
All right, that was Brock Osweiler. We heard from Connor Cook. Daniel, obviously, Oakland Raiders on to their 3rd quarterback. To be perfectly honest, as a Raider fan, I'm much more comfortable with Connor Cook than I was with Matt McGloin. Here's a guy that's had success, even though the last college game he played wasn't. As a sophomore, he won the Rose Bowl. As a junior, he won the Cotton Bowl. Had an injury and, dropped a few places in the draft, but he has pedigree and he got into a game. I'm just worried now that it's been announced Raiders left tackle won't play, and that's never a good thing.
Yeah, no, I was going to mention that also. Losing Donald Penn is a problem. You never want to lose a left tackle who's, has played every game this season. The blind side for any quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback. I got no problem with the move. It wasn't like, McGloin got any pedigree to do anything better, and I agree with everything you said. I just think it's a tough matchup, not because I think Brock Osweiler can do anything, it's because I think Houston's got a solid defense. Romeo Crennel's a veteran defensive coordinator who's going to throw a lot of different things at a rookie, confuse him. The playoffs are always a bit of a different game, than the regular season, and he only got to play, a couple of series there in the second half last week. So, it's going to be an interesting game, but I can't imagine that the Raiders are going to be able to win. I think Houston wins. I think they're going to run the ball a lot with getting Lamar Miller back. And unfortunately, Elliot, I think the Raiders got the short end this year.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what I said off the top of the show.
Only way I see them winning is if Khalil Mack does what Von Miller did last year. The offense, if the defense can get some points, you have a chance to win. But I don't think anybody wins that game. Has a chance against New England, so I really don't think it matters in the end. But moving on to the next one, let's stick with the AFC here.
Okay, where are we going?
Well, we're
going
to go Steelers Dolphins.
All right, let's hear from the quarterback. I promised 8 quarterbacks, and 8 quarterbacks we shall hear. Here's Ben Roethlisberger.
If you're not excited to be in the playoffs, something's wrong with you. But you still have to take a lot of the same approach of it's today's a Wednesday. Let's go about our business. I think just the attention to detail has to be a little, more intense.
And how different do their defense look from, 10 weeks ago?
Very similar in terms of schematic. things and issues. Obviously, they have some injuries, so some different players. But I think when you look at it, they still get after the passer, try to stop the run. Their front seven, especially their D-line, is exceptional.
And now the third team that was hoping to have another quarterback and not the guy you're about to hear. Here's Miami's Moore.
It's an unbelievable opportunity. You know, there's a lot of guys. You know, some guys go a lot and some, you know, don't get those chances. So to get a chance, this is my second time ever being a part of a team that's gone to the playoffs. So I'm excited. I know the guys are excited. It's an unbelievable opportunity and a great football town. So we're ready to go.
Steelers won 7 straight, hottest team in the league in that sense. They've looked absolutely dominant at some points during the year, but then others, you know, they've also laid a few eggs, including one against the Dolphins earlier this year. Any chance of this happening again, or are the Steelers going to run away with this week?
The fact they played them earlier in the season, you know, and they laid that egg, it's a very, you know, you got to wonder what happened there, why was it? I'm going to sort of say that they're going to chalk that up to a bad week. They're going to check it out on film, see where they went wrong. I think the Dolphins are going to put up points. Matt Morris had 8 touchdowns in his 3 starts, which is pretty good. But, you know, Pittsburgh can really score with anyone, against anyone. And their defense, the second half of the year with Shazier coming back, has really been different. So I think in the end of the day, they're going to win the game. I think Dolphins will put up some points, but I don't think that they're going to, you know, I don't think they're going to have a chance really in this game. Pittsburgh's really on a roll these days.
All right. And you saw Pittsburgh as a really good team to start the season. They were in your top 5. They certainly, it took them a while. You know, let's face it, Le'Veon Bell didn't start the season off. And still it took them a while to get into being, because it's a different identity than they were in the past.
For sure. They used to be this, you know, sort of cut and ground, a Jerome Bettis, or years past with the Franco Harrises. You know, they went to the Super Bowl in the mid-90s with the Barry Fosters. They've always had, you know, the very tough defenses. And in the last couple of years, it's been more of a high-powered offense with a bit of a shaky defense ever since Polamalu left. So I think that's the interesting thing. Their defense has come on a bit. And I think in terms of against the Patriots, you've got two different, you know, they could score with the Patriots. They could score with anyone. And if for some reason the Patriots can't slow them down, they're going to be able to, you know, put in a game. Whereas the other team that's going to compete against the Patriots is Kansas City. And their chance is really, if they can get in Tom Brady with their pass rush of Houston and Dee Ford and the other guys, that's going to give him a chance. Because the only way to beat the Patriots is to get Tom Brady off of his game. And by hitting him is the way to do it.
Giants-Packers. Oh, I thought you got to play the quarterbacks okay. Before I ask right. The question.
Okay, but my question before we got into Giants-Packers was going to be,
okay.
Of all the playoff teams this year, right? So there's 12 playoff teams, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, that
yes.
Wasn't the tough math question here.
No, I was thinking this week.
That wasn't the tough math question. All right.
Gotcha.
Of the 12 playoff teams, okay, I want a quick answer here. How many quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl?
I could think of 3 already.
Four.
With Roethlisberger. Yeah.
All right.
Roethlisberger, Brady, Eli, and Rodgers.
Well,
oh, no, sorry, 5. Russell Wilson.
And L5, that's correct.
Who?
He just said Russell Wilson,
yeah.
Eli.
You can't count Osweiler. That doesn't count.
No. Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Rodgers.
Yeah.
And Brady.
Yeah.
There's definitely 5.
4. Who count
There's
again.
Definitely 5.
Go again.
Eli.
Rodgers.
Brady.
Roethlisberger.
And Russell Wilson.
Right. There's 4 this weekend. And the reason I ask is because this is the game where one faces off against another. Oh, my God.
By the way,
that was like, geez.
6 after Dak Prescott wins.
That doesn't Sorry. Count. And Osweiler, by the way, is a Super Bowl champion.
We don't care.
They mentioned that it's the first time ever in a wild card game has 2 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, which I find odd over the number of years. But yeah, they said it's the first time they're ever going to have that going on. So,
and here they are.
They're a good team. They're playing great football. Defensively, they're getting a lot of turnovers. Offensively, they're scoring a lot of points. Aaron's playing great football, so they're coming in hot. And you know, we know we got to play smart. We got to find ways to win. We got to keep it close and make some plays in the fourth quarter and win the football games, kind of like the way we've been winning all year.
All right, running the table. Does this count? In running the table, you got to keep winning. You got to keep running the table, Aaron.
Hey, look, I just talked about running the table and getting to the playoffs. Obviously, you got it's win or go home at this point. So, that's the focus, is keep on winning, get this thing to Houston. That's the beauty of the league. I mean, it's I said on Monday, you know, we're sitting there in the quarterback meeting watching some film, and there's 20 teams that are packing their stuff up and having exit meetings. There's just something special about how our league, you know, just has 12 teams. I think it's a great system, and we've been fortunate enough to be a part of it the last 8 years.
Giants, Packers, Eli and Rodgers, game of the week, no question. That's two quarterbacks that have made it to the Super Bowl from the wild card spot and made pretty incredible runs like this. Only one can advance this week. Who goes through the suddenly
on
fire? You're
asking a Giants fan. What's the,
Hold on. Yeah. He's been fair. I'll give him this. He's not that guy who just says his team's the best. He's very honest. Now, I know who he's cheering for. I'm not asking that.
Okay, but who goes through? You know what? To be perfectly honest, I wouldn't want to face either of these teams.
I agree with that. And the Cowboys probably will have to. So,
are you concerned that your team may not be able to run the ball like a team needs to win a playoff game? Dan, your floor.
Yeah, yes, most definitely. if there's, as a Giants fan, or, you know, it's a fan looking at this game from the Giants perspective, there are two things that keep me up at night. One is Aaron Rodgers. He scares the hell out of me. This guy can, you know, roam around the field, get anywhere and throw 70 yards. The other thing that scares me is in the cold weather like this, you got to be able to run the ball at some point, and the Giants O-line and running game has not been there for most of the season. That being said, last week, in a game where they didn't have to win, the Redskins did have to win. They were able to run the ball. They got Perkins over 100 yards for the first time this year. They had that. So it's only 1 week, so I can't really, you know, stick to that. But they got to get that going, because otherwise that's going to be a big problem for them.
And then the last game we got, right. Seattle. You had Russell Wilson, who was looking like an MVP candidate at some points, and Matthew Stafford, who started off looking like one. Kind of ended slowly. Let's hear from them.
All right, Russell Wilson, what's it take to win in the playoffs? He should know. He's a Super Bowl champ.
You know, it comes down to being able to be clutch in big moments. It comes down to being tougher than the guy across from you. And that's why we've been able to win, you know, a lot of playoff games in 5 years. But, you know, those years before, they don't matter. Whatever your resume is before, it's only right now. The difference being playoffs in the regular season, there's just a few more cameras. But the reality is, it's the same game you've been playing ever since you were a little kid. And so that's what I've always grasped onto in big moments, in big games, quote unquote. You know, it's the same game. It's 100 yards, it's 53 and a third.
You joking me, quote unquote? Stop it, will you? And you can tell, like, the Seattle Seahawks, right? Seahawks.com, the only one to package the comments, okay? You can stop that, too. Here's Matthew Stafford. He knows it'll be tough in Seattle.
You know, I'm sure the Seattle faithful will be out there nice and loud. Played a Monday night game there last year. It was extremely loud. They're known for it. They do a great job of it. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. Not in the ranking teams, but yeah, they're up there. I mean, they've got a ton of talent. They do a really nice job of being disruptive, both in the run game and the pass game. You know, their linebackers can run and hit, you know, downhill in the run game and then cover just as well. So you might as well, you know, add Cam Chancellor into that too. He does a great job when he's in the box and playing the run and playing the pass.
The Seahawks defense has not been the same since Earl Thomas went down, at least in my opinion. Look, they're still a great defense. Wagner could be up for defensive MVP, but when you see how they've played, they're still the Seattle Seahawks. The Detroit Lions have really struggled recently. They kind of limped into the playoffs. Can you see them maybe getting an upset here in Seattle, or is Seattle just too strong?
You know, look, I've been hard on Detroit all year. I didn't think much of them before the season. All season, I kept thinking, oh, they're going to falter. You know, they still made it to the playoffs. I think a lot of the downfall at the end of the season was due to Stafford's injury. Counts as an injury, but it's unfortunate that that's, I think, the reason they faltered. I just don't think Seattle doesn't lose at home. Yeah, Detroit will probably make it more of a game because they've done that all year, and hats off to them for that. But I just don't think that this is a game Seattle loses. I do think Earl Thomas is going to be a big loss for them come playing the next round, whether it be Atlanta, whether whoever they're going to play when they have to play against a, you know, more high-powered offense. I think that's going to be a problem for them, but not this week.
All right, DK, give us four winners.
The four winners I give you Houston, I give you Seattle, I give you Green Bay.
Ouch.
Sorry, hold on. I give you Pittsburgh, and I give you the Giants.
You give me the Giants. You gave us Green Bay a minute ago. Now it's the Giants. I see overtime.
I like it.
He's confused.
No, I like it. Yeah, you know, he said it out loud and then realized, what am I doing? You know,
I was looking at the wrong thing, and I said, I can't believe I said that. No, I think the Giants will be tough. They're going to pull it out. And I think that will mean that we're going to be facing, well, the winner of that, I think, is facing Dallas, like you said, because Detroit needs to win for them to get down.
Giants are going to win the Super Bowl.
I want the Giants to win, to be honest. Yeah, I would like
you.
The Giants to win.
They're going to beat you.
Aaron Rodgers scares me. Hey, third time's a charm.
Giants will beat
third
you.
Third time's a charm.
It's tough to beat a team three times in a season.
It's been done.
Fair. It's been done. Either way, it's going to be a good game in week 2. Whoever goes through, I don't think Dallas is blowing out either of them. I think it's going to be a great game either way.
Thank you, DK. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Hey, our time's winding down. This is crazy, right? With Daniel, we got, four more games next week?
We all made it.
The week after that?
We all made it, though.
Yeah, I know. And we all would have had significant hopes for our team if one of our quarterbacks hadn't broken his leg.
We would have had, me and you would have had buys.
Oh, man. Yeah, Raiders definitely wouldn't have played like that in Denver. There were open guys. Denver left guys open that McGloin couldn't find. Then again, neither could Cook.
How do you feel about Crabtree's chain getting ripped off by Tyree?
I can't believe that wasn't a penalty. How come? Well, you can't do that.
He said he was going to do it, too, before the game. That's like a threat.
How can you do that?
So, yeah, I agree.
You step up to a man. So, wait a minute, right? You can't point in their direction. You can't do anything like that.
Yeah.
But you walk up to him, you pull the chain off his neck.
Yeah, that's...
And then you laugh? Are you kidding me?
And he's bragging about it on the side. Yeah, I agree.
Come on. That should be an ejection, really.
Honestly, yeah. Well, does that not start a fight? That's worse. That's the worst kind of taunting you could do. I agree.
Well, no, but Crabtree was like, excuse me?
And you know what's funny? Crabtree have always has that chain. It's not like he's trying to show off. Yep. He had that in college. Yep. He always wears his chain where you can see it.
All right. Hey, I want you to know that over the last 10 days, Miles and I have finished the regular season that we started when he was 6 years old in our Stratomatic 1999 game. And you know why? You know why you reminded me?
Why is that?
Because Jacksonville in 1999 got beat 3 times by Tennessee. It's the only games they lost. How many games the Cowboys lost this year?
In this one?
Yeah.
In yours?
No, in yours. In this.
In the real?
Three. Yeah.
Three. But the third I don't even count, right? They didn't even...
I understand.
They almost won with Sanchez in. Come on. But again, 3 losses. It happens. I just don't want another one. That's kind of my thing. I want no more losses.
No more losses.
For this year. Next year, go 0-16. I don't care. Give me a Super Bowl, please.
0-16. You're prepared to... I was prepared to play bad golf for the Blackhawks to win a Stanley Cup, and
I'll
it happened.
Bad golf, no problem.
I know, it's not fair. No, it has to be something that changes from good to bad, not from bad to bad, Grant. That doesn't work. All right, so you're listening to Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price. That's Grant Robinson. Of course, on Monday, right, we'll know how the Canadians did against the Leafs. Boy, Grant has some kind of weekend coming up, except his Cowboys are not playing. But, you know, you love football.
Oh, that's a win. Yeah, that's a W. That's right. Put it on the board.
That's it. Yes. Well, of course, I have Daniel back on, and we'll talk hockey and get you ready for next week and starting to get serious around here. We'll see how the Canadians did during this weekend, crazy weekend, and a whole bunch of other stuff. All right, we'll be talking junior hockey. Sam Cosentino, who's Mr. Junior Hockey for Sportsnet, he'll join us next after Grant's update, Sportsnet Tonight.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Wow. Kane goes one-on-one with Ward, but the Carolina netminder makes the stop. Chicago's Twitter, they're up 1-0. And the Canadians tomorrow, you're excited? I mean, do you really want to beat the Canadians this way? I mean, I can hear you.
Does that, of course, I'll take that win.
Sam, can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you.
There you are! It's so nice to hear your voice. I mean, talking to us. We hear you on television and everything.
How's it going, man? What's happening?
I don't know. Not too much. Not too much. We're, you know, obviously still tingling from the World Junior Championship and what a final game. I had my good buddy Blair McAsee on from the Minnesota Wild, and he's a Montrealer, and he said, you know what? Maybe he can't remember a better championship game.
I would only say that, and because I called it, the 2012 Calgary Edmonton, the final between Sweden and Russia was unbelievable. It didn't have the shootout drama to it, but it was a pretty long overtime game. But that would be the only one in my memory.
All right. Well, I called the one 2 years ago, and that was pretty exciting. Just like, you know, not as exciting as yours. I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So how are you?
How's things going? Everything's going good.
Things are good. Things are good. We're glad to have you on, but we want to know, this being 2017 and all, why can't we find you on Twitter? What's the deal? He's laughing.
I'll be perfectly honest with you.
Okay.
So I'm not a Facebook guy, but the Twitter thing kind of scares me a little bit.
Okay.
Sam, Grant Robinson here. The nation got a real good look at a lot of the players in the World Juniors, you know, made a ton of them household names now that they won't forget. But one of my favorite draft picks of last season, Alex DeBrincat of Elliott's Chicago Blackhawks. Woo! I mean, he's just lighting up the league right now. 32 goals in 33 games. Two-part question here. Number one, what do you see in the future for this kid? And were you surprised to see him not named to the U.S. national team?
I was surprised, first of all, that he wasn't named. I mean, it's pretty tough. Before he went to camp, he had 182 goals in 2.5 years. And he had Connor McDavid with him 1 year. He had Dylan Strome with him the next year, but he was a goal per game this year. So it tells me he can adjust to a fast-paced guy, a slower-paced guy, and do it on his own. I don't know why you wouldn't want that guy on your team. Now, having said that, some of the reasoning from USA Hockey was like, okay, here's a guy that we have a lot of right shots, and we don't like the way he participated in our camp, in our selection camp, and we didn't take him. And the weird part is, any decision is justified when you win a gold medal. That's just kind of the way it goes. The next thing, he's going to play in the National Hockey League. There is no doubt in my mind he'll play in the National Hockey League because he's a really smart player. He's a good puck distributor, even though, you know, everyone talks about his goaltending. He's one of those guys who's a little smaller but thicker and can defend himself well. He's pretty good with the stick. If you want to try and take liberties with him, he'll make sure that he protects himself. And his coach, Chris Knobloch, he just loves him. He said there's no question this guy's going to play in the National Hockey League. So it's a pretty cool thing to see for sure.
Another guy, look, I know I'm selfish here. I'm a Leafs fan.
At least you led with a Hawks player.
But everybody talks about the Leafs rookies that are in the NHL now, and they're obviously getting their credit for a reason.
There's a lot coming.
But Jeremy Bracco is a player I've been, you know, watching and paying attention to for a while. He made it to the team. Actually had a pretty good tournament. Obviously he's not leading the league in points anymore because he left for the tournament. But what do you make of him and his chances in the future?
He's a guy that looks like a lot of other Leaf prospects right now. We're a little bit smallish, really skilled, play with a little bit of arrogance in their game, and have good passion for the game. He's one of those guys. And, you know, I have a hard time arguing with what Mark Hunter's been able to do since he came to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And if they stick to the plan that, that's been created here and don't get too excited about getting the playoffs in a hurry and making sure they go deep in the playoffs and just stick with, you know, drafting and developing, I think there's going to be some sustenance in the group. But he's one of those smallest, shifty, skilled guys, has had a couple good years here with the Kitchener Rangers. But if there's one thing, I think he's a guy who probably needs to mature just a little bit, maybe shape a little bit better as well, before he's able to make a regular contribution at the next level. So he's probably more a guy that's going to get in the American Hockey League, have to adjust to the pace, have to adjust to a pro lifestyle, mature a little bit both physically and mentally, and then take maybe 2 years to kind of figure it out in the American Hockey League and then move forward from there.
All right, Sam Cosentino from Sportsnet on the Junior Beat. Before we let you go, our hometown here took a little bit of beating with the empty seats during the World Junior Hockey Championships. What should they do going forward to make sure that this sort of thing doesn't happen again?
I think you need to try and find places that have a medium to large size venue and a smaller venue. You're asking people to fill an 18,000 seat venue when there's no real connection to the product in terms of what was happening in the pool play in Montreal. No Canadian team, no real want by anyone to go and watch. I mean, some international flavor and whatnot, but really, it's not a market that's been able to sustain a junior franchise since way back in the day. And the same thing is for Toronto. It's just not a market that really likes its junior hockey. They love the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal. They love the Toronto Maple Leafs in Toronto. But really, other than that, it's not great. I'll speak on the Toronto side of things, too, because that's a market that's been saturated with Blue Jays playoffs, the World Cup of Hockey, the Pan Am Games, Raptors playoffs, outdoor games, World Juniors 2 years ago. You're asking a lot of people on their disposable dollar there. So that's a part of it. And I look at Montreal, and there's maybe not quite as saturated with those with the big-time events, but it's probably just too big a venue. Really, that's what it comes down to. It's too big a venue to ask those people to come out. Where I was a little bit disappointed, I would say, probably be the quarterfinal game, and even to, on a smaller extent, the semifinal game. But it was bumping in there last night, no doubt about it.
Sam Cosentino, it's been too long, my friend. Good talking with you.
Yeah, great talking to you, Pete. Take care.
All right.
Take care, Grant. Thanks.
Sam Cosentino, Mr. Junior Hockey, and need people to start getting excited. We talk about how the World Junior Hockey Championships is our Final Four. Well, you know what? People watch college basketball all season long and not just the road to. So that's where it's different. And we also don't give any attention to our college sports here either, which,
no, and that's
which
a fact.
Is beyond me. I don't get it. You know, we have terrific college athletes, male and female, and we pretty much ignore them. It is unbelievable. All right. Promise to Elliot Friedman. We'll find out what Hockey Night in Canada's Elliot Friedman thinks about what's going on with the Olympics in Canada. And, of course, we'll finish off with the Friday night hockey fantasy update. Don't go away. Sportsnet tonight, Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to the show. There's junior guys that are already back playing tonight, eh? It's unbelievable.
I would. If I was on a Canadian team, I want that taste out of my mouth as quick as possible. If I'm on the U.S. team, I'm probably a little bit hungover today, let's be honest.
Yeah, they probably left some frozen, somebody said, last night here in Montreal.
Well, that's
hey, let's face it, they're allowed to drink here.
That's probably the first thing everybody in that tournament circled on their calendar
what,
when
let's
they
go
saw
to Canada?
Ooh, let's make it to the gold medal game. Yeah.
Does anybody make it from the National Hockey League to the gold medal game of the Olympics? Hockey Night in Canada's Elliot Friedman on what's going on with the National Hockey League and the Olympics as we near some sort of deadline.
Two people at a high school dance who want to dance with each other. Maybe it's a bit awkward, and maybe it takes a while because someone is trying to muster up the courage, but eventually it gets done. That's kind of the way I've always believed it goes. We talk about this all the time. Will they go? Won't they go? Whatever, and eventually they go. I've always believed at the end they're going to go. I will say, George, that this is the one I'm the most pessimistic for ever. I really think the NHL and the owners don't want to go. I think it's very legit when they say that. I think if they do end up going, and I still believe there's a chance, it's going to be because Bettman gets something he wants that's going to drag them there. That he says, he's going to say to the owners, guys, we need this. We got something to exchange. They're going to go. I think the one thing here is that, and this would actually concern me if I was the league and their players, the IOC is really playing hardball with them. And, you know, if just forgetting, you know, just forgetting, you know, the battle between the league and the players, the one thing that would concern me is this a sign that the IOC doesn't believe the NHLers are important enough at the Olympics? because that would concern me if that was the case. Why would they feel that the NBA players are important, but these guys aren't? And I think there's a lot of politics behind the scenes. And if I was the NHL and I believe the IOC didn't feel we were important, I would be concerned about that, because that says to me that they think they can do their games without us. And I wouldn't like someone to have that opinion of me. I think what's going to happen here is, you know, Daly has said he's heard that the IOC has a January 15th deadline. We don't have that deadline, is what he said last week. So I think they're going to force the IOC to make a decision. They don't want to make the decision. They want the IOC to do it.
So there you go. So, you know, pretty much we have our feet firmly planted in the air. That's where we are with that. And so we gave you the date, another week and a half. And then they'll have another deadline. You know, there are deadlines until they're not deadlines. Right?
It's looking worse, though. I thought there was zero chance they weren't.
I don't think it looks any different than it did previously. I think we were always going to end up where we are now at this point. And I still think they're going to be there. So we'll see. We'll see what it sounds stupid not to be there. They want to be in China, but they don't want to be in. So that doesn't make any sense.
And they
sense
want to do a preseason game in China next year, whatever it is.
All right. So every night at this time, we bring you your National Hockey League fantasy update. So you know what's going on before you turn in. It's Friday night. You're not turning in. You're turning out. So as you head out, here's what's going on in the National Hockey League. First of all, Nashville and the Florida Panthers, and they are tied at 1. There's 6 minutes and 11 seconds left. Oh, Panthers have scored. Ding, ding, ding. They've taken a 2-1 lead. And that just happened in the third period. Jonathan Marchessault from Jaromir Jagr. How many points does he have? Like 8 billion? And Vincent Trocheck. So that turned the tide. It was Craig Smith who scored earlier in the period to put them on the board. From Forsberg and Ribeiro. And the only goal of the first period came early. Craig McKegg. Nice name, Greg McKegg.
He was a Leafs prospect, I remember. I liked it too. And then they shipped him out. I was okay with it, but a great name.
Greg McKegg. Derek McKenzie and Paul Thompson on the assist. Goaltenders tonight, Saros and Reimer.
Toronto 4, New Jersey nothing. Austin Matthews, his 21st goal. Nazem Kadri and Tyler Bozak each adding a goal and an assist. Connor Brown, shorthanded goal. Corey Schneider gave him pretty much the easiest goal he's ever going to score in his life. It'll definitely be on the
long
lights.
Time, you know.
James Van Riemsdyk, 2 assists. Hyman and Gardner, an assist. Frederik Andersen, 24 saves. He's looking for a shutout. He's got about 7 minutes left to do that. And Schneider, if you had him, not a good night. 3 goals on 5 shots before he got pulled.
Not good. 1-0 Chicago, second period against Carolina. I believe Carolina beat them or was very close last time around. And Chicago, this is more like the way things have gone lately. The shots are 25-12 for Carolina. So Scott Darling is having quite a night in the Chicago goal.
2-0 Chicago. 2-0. Doesn't say by who yet, but you just scored a power play goal.
Can you believe this? Let's see. Jonathan Toews from Marian Hossa and Vinny Hinostroza.
The bread man. That's all I see. I see loaves of bread being tweeted.
We have to be careful with the bread man, you know. It's getting serious. If he finishes in the top 5, then the Blackhawks are going to have to give him more money.
Bench
and it's
him.
Going to cost them on
Bench
the cap
him.
Next year. Yeah,
Force
I was
Ryan
reading
Blair.
About that. That's and he top 10. And he was 5th last time I checked. And Kane, too. Ugh,
just somebody hit him with a puck in practice.
No, because there's a fine line between injury and where you're going. What else do we have? Is that it?
And then the other game, Colorado 1, New York Islanders 0 after 1. Landeskog with the only goal from Rantanen and McKinnon. Picard, 9 saves there.
All right, to Calgary at Vancouver, Arizona at Anaheim. Those are the games. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to Francis for putting it all together, and thanks to all the people that joined us for tonight's show. I mean, you were listening, right? And if you listened from the beginning, then you got an opportunity to hear Andrew Berkshire, Blair McAsee, Daniel Kalis, and Sam Cosentino, and Elliot Friedman, and Eric Engels, and a whole bunch of other people. Join us again Monday. Miss the show? You can certainly catch it on sportsnet.ca. Good night.